a day of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants.
If any!
Yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Welcome to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey, where he talks all things real estate.
Good morning, California comrades. This is your host, Brad Maskey, and Real Talk is where we talk all things real estate. Real Talk is the right side of real estate, and boy, just when you think things couldn't get any crazier, guess what happens? I'm sorry for the intro, but I couldn't help it. Some people may feel, with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that that may be an appropriate feeling, that the Wicked Witch is dead. Yeah, I know, it's not right. We should be sad for the death. We should honor the Supreme Court justice. But if you're a right-to-life person, if you're a Christian, if you're someone who believes that the Constitution should be interpreted as a Constitution, not a living document that could be changed to make new law, then you would not be a Ruth Ginsburg fan. And I'm sorry for those of you that are fans. My mother was a strong and wonderful woman. My mom did lots of things, but my mom did not worship the devil. Now, I don't know if Ruth Bader Ginsburg worshiped the devil, but I can tell you that this year is going to be absolutely insane. 2020, the one for the record books. And again, California comrades, I have to remind you that this is day 186 in Tulare County of the temporary lockdown to bend the curve. That's right, we were locked down for 14 days to bend the curve to make sure the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. And of course, our hospitals aren't anywhere near overwhelmed 186 days later. In fact, in Tulare County, there are 6 people in ICU right now, yesterday with COVID, and there are 30 other people in the hospital. And our hospitals are operating at about 75% of capacity from all things all told. But we still can't open our businesses. Our children can't go to school in person. We can't be in restaurants. And I just got back from a week in Las Vegas, a week in Lake Tahoe. And sadly, our California fire management has destroyed the air in Lake Tahoe as well as the entire valley and the entire state. From a hotel room in Harvey's, looking out the window, I couldn't see the mountains, nor could I see the lake. Of course, the weather report called it fog, but it didn't smell or taste like fog. It smelled and tasted like a barbecue. I thought maybe I'd get some good bike riding in Lake Tahoe, but it was as hard to bike ride there as it is here in the valley when you're eating dust while you ride. Dust meaning dust from the ashes of the fires burning throughout the state. It was also very interesting to see the tale of two states. Nevada does not have nearly the strong lockdown policy that California has. They have a pretty strict lockdown policy. They are a blue governor state, but not quite as severe as California. And so, you know, COVID knows where the state lines are, because if I was across the state line in South Shore Lake Tahoe, I could eat inside a restaurant in Nevada. But if I crossed over the line into California, I had to eat outside, not allowed to go inside, because that sneaky little virus in California goes inside the restaurants and gets you too. So what does all this have to do with real estate? It has everything to do with real estate. I am going to talk today about what's happening in the markets, about the interest rates, where they're going, where they're going to go in the future. But I can't help but rant on this strange situation we're in. And here's my prediction is, and everyone knows this is going to happen, Trump is going to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court before the election, probably as soon as Monday, and the left is going to go absolutely insane. Their heads are going to explode. And I've read some very, very funny things. And these funny things are that in one left-wing blog post that's read by all of the left-wingers, Vox, and this left-wing blog post, supposedly news, said something to the effect that if we, the Republicans, Trump, try to appoint a Supreme Court justice before the election, that they're going to not use a butter knife this time to stop the nominee from being appointed. They're going to come with guns, bombs, and everything they need. I mean, you read this, and they think that using a butter knife is what they did in the Kavanaugh hearing. That was a butter knife? I mean, they went back to when he was in high school and made accusations. You know the drill, trying to destroy this man. And, of course, Kamala Harris, our own California representative now running for vice president under Biden, was one of the worst at attacking, trying to destroy a person's reputation. I feel sorry for whoever gets appointed to this position, because we're going to find out things about them that they didn't know themselves. Yeah, I know that, because when I ran for public office in Tulare County, the local left-wing press made up stories, took partial truths, and twisted them into the wildest accusations to attack me just for a seat of county supervisor. Nothing as important as a lifetime appointment to the California Supreme Court. So yeah, this is going to be a stranger year yet. Expect rioting, expect things to be burned. Speaking of rioting, things burned, property defaced all over Visalia, probably all over the state. The Trump signs are being written on, torn down. F Trump, BLM, F Trump, you're a bunch of effers. If you have a Trump sign, the loving left is out in full force, telling us we don't have the right to want conservative government. And again, you want to know what will happen if Joe Biden is elected as president and they enact left-wing policies like we've had in California nationwide? Take a look at California to see what's happened. 40 years of bad forest management, and our forests are burning to death. That's right, they're burning to the death of people around them, burning out the houses. And all of the memes on Facebook where they show the fire stopping at the Canadian border and the fire stopping at the border of Mexico are not fake. There are very few fires in Canada, very few. They're very localized, small fires in Canada. Whereas if we look at California, the fires are all over. What was the difference? Even Canada, which is fairly socialist, knows that if they don't maintain their forest, that they'll all burn down. Canada does allow. I'm sorry if you heard dog barking in the background. It's because there was a dog barking in the background. That's the joy of a podcast. And the dog is here to protect me. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Canada knows that if you don't log your forests, if you don't graze your forest, if you don't maintain your forests can't maintain themselves. And so is all of the Californians, early Indians, early settlers of California. We knew we have to take care of our forests, and we didn't. And again, what does all this have to do with real estate? Well, if you own real estate in the foothills of California, if you own real estate anywhere where there's a possible fire, watch out for your fire insurance policy premiums. They are going to be through the roof if you can even get them. Remember that just the last few years, the fires that we had began to greatly impact how much fire insurance you could get and the cost of your fire insurance. We saw policies costing as much as $6,000 to insure a $300,000 home. That was before this round of fires, which is the biggest we've ever had in California, and all the structures that were just burned. So if you own foothill properties, if you can rebuild, look at your fire insurance to skyrocket. Fortunately, as I said before, the house that I built in Shaver Lake and Ockenden Ranch survived the fire. The fire stayed on the other side of 168 till it was past the subdivision downhill from it and then made a little jump. Ockenden also has good fire roads around it. It's been pretty clear. They've been very careful to make fire breaks. But when you have a 40-year accumulation of dead trees and dead limbs and dead stuff in the forest, those fires can jump tremendous distances. So we're going to see that it's going to be harder to build in the mountains. The shortage of houses that was already there will become even greater. And we'll find out, because rural mountain properties have become very popular now that we can work from home during our COVID staycation. Again, this is Brad Maskey. You're listening to Real Talk, and we're on day 186 of the temporary lockdown in Tulare County, the lockdown to bend the spread to protect our hospitals. You still have to eat outside in our restaurants, our massage parlors, spas, nail places. Most of those folks cannot be open. If you get a haircut, it's with a limited capacity, wearing masks while they do it, so they can't trim your beard and mustache. All of that to protect us from the COVID virus, which, according to Joe Biden, if we would have all just worn masks, wouldn't have killed anyone. That's right, it wouldn't have killed anyone. And a CNN medical expert says that he knows if we would have just been all wearing masks, there'd be almost no deaths, that this cloth face mask will prevent every flu, every virus from now in the future. All we have to do is wear our face masks all the time. Yeah, this is the wacky presidential election phase where anybody can be an expert, anybody will say anything. And I am an expert on real estate and real property values. This is Brad Maskey. You're listening to Real Talk, and I'll be right back where we'll talk about what's going to happen next in this market. How tight is it? Is it so tight that you can't buy? Is it a good time to sell? Listen to Real Talk, and I'll be right back to give you those answers.
Of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants.
If any,
yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Welcome back, and I am Brad Maskey, your host of Real Talk, where we talk all things real estate and public policy. And I could not resist one more jab at this. You know, some people won't like it. Some people will be offended. But I do believe the Wicked Witch is dead. I read a very interesting book at the beginning of the Trump presidency by a Baptist minister who had a dream. He thought it was kind of a prophecy, and he was predicting before Trump was elected that Trump would be elected. And in his book, he talked about some trials and tribulations that he dreamed about. Some of those were the riots we're seeing now, and about how bad they were going to be. But he also said he dreamed that in his first term, and that Trump would serve two terms, he dreamed that Trump would appoint three justices in his first term. And so I watched the presidency, and we kept thinking Ruth Bader Ginsburg might pass away at some point. You know, she has cancer, she's sick. And understand that she was given an opportunity when Obama was president to resign, and he would appoint a liberal justice in her place. But she was certain, like everyone else, that Hillary Clinton would win, and she refused to resign. She said, I'm going to stay in. I'm going to stay as long as I can possibly be a judge. So she stayed in, she gambled, and she lost. And then she lost her life. And again, I don't wish her any ill will, but this Trump prophecy was that this minister had was that Trump would appoint three Supreme Court justices. And until last night, I thought that's probably not going to happen. Now, whether we can get a third justice confirmed without destroying the nation, I'm not certain. We'll find out what happens. But I do believe that it's now time to take sides. I think it's time for you to take a look at your schools, to take a look at your government, to take a look at your governance, and see if this is what you really want. Who you choose to represent you makes a huge difference in what you get. And you can see it in the decisions that are made every day and how it is beginning to affect your lives. So we've given great power to our state. We've given great power to bureaucrats. And these bureaucrats, as they get more and more power, even though they may be good people, if they don't believe in the constitutional rights of free property rights, of property rights at all, if they don't believe in the First Amendment, if they don't believe that people have the right to make their own choices, they take things away from you. And they do it because as their power grows, they're able to do more and more things. And of course, this crisis, like every crisis, has not been laid to waste. They're using it to take away all of your rights. And here's what the left believes. So I'll get a little philosophical here. The left believes that private property and property in general is too important to be owned by private individuals. That property itself, the earth itself, is a right that should be owned by the government and somehow given to individuals by the government who chooses who should have what, when, why, and where. That's right. That's what they believe. They continually say that housing is too important to be owned by individuals. The businesses shouldn't be able to own their own business. That only the all-knowing, all-seeing government should control your property and tell you what you can have and what you can do with your property. The zoning ordinances, the laws, the increased regulations are all because they believe they know better how to run your business, how to run your life than you do. And that's why this election is so absolutely critically important. And you're going to see a violent riot all over the nation as this battle for the soul of our nation begins, or continues, I guess. Begin is not the right word because it's been going on and it continues to go on. We are in a battle to figure out whether we can own private property, and California is already talking about how they should be taking property away in the cities. They're talking about these apartments that are now starting to become vacant should be taken over by the government. The government should tell you what you can charge for rent. The government should tell you who can be rented to. The government can give, where they get the money to give, where they get the right to give, who knows, but can give to all. That's what our children have been taught in school. Our children have been taught in school that America is a racist nation founded on bad ideas, that there's no one good in this nation, that if you're born white, you're automatically born bad and evil by the color of your skin. The exact opposite of what we have always known, the exact opposite of what the founders of this country believed, the exact opposite of what Martin Luther King Jr. said, to be judged by the content of your character, not the color of your skin. But this indoctrination is all throughout our school. There are kids who have no idea about history. They don't know anything about the country. In fact, a study that was done in New York last week found that most millennials don't know anything about the Holocaust. About a third of them believe that the Jews themselves caused the Holocaust. There's another 20% who think it's fake and that there weren't very many people killed in the Holocaust. We've absolutely dumbed down and destroyed our history, and that's why it's so important that we learn history, that we learn not to repeat the mistakes we've made in the past. And I agree that slavery was a mistake in the past, but I also know we fought a civil war to stop slavery, and that the Republican Party is the ones who started that war, and the Republican Party is the one that freed the slaves, and the Republican Party are the ones that have voted for women's rights, for the right of colored people of all colors to be free and equal. It's the Republican Party who has done that. And there's never been a shift of parties like the left wants you to believe. They say, oh, wait, all the old Democrats that were the ones, the KKK bird, were really, they became Republicans now. So it's just switched over. It's not true. It's never been true. That's a myth that they're perpetuating on us. So in any case, what's going to happen in 2021 depends on what happens at the end of 2020. I really think that as California goes, the nation is going, but maybe California could wake up and start to elect some conservatives to positions in office, and that we might have a slight chance. Okay, so what's going on in real estate for those of you who want to hear the real estate markets in the valley? Again, the market is still pretty much on fire. It slowed down because of the fires. It slowed down because of the Labor Day weekend, which was late this year. But there's still a huge shortage of inventory. and a lot more potential buyers out there than there are properties for sale. There's also a lot more buyers for affordable properties than there are affordable properties for sale, and it's truly affecting value. It's truly causing some bidding wars. It's causing lots of folks. In Visalia, if you're looking at $250,000 and under, you're going to be in bid wars unless it's just an absolute crummy property in a crummy neighborhood that's vastly overpriced. But if it's cleaned up, fixed up, reasonable, and in any kind of good neighborhood, it's a bid war. And the property's on the market for less than a week. That market continues on from that $250,000 up to near $400,000, although there's less buyers in that price range. If the property is in a good neighborhood and it's properly priced for that neighborhood, again, we're typically still seeing the multiple offers. And that's true all over Tulare and Fresno County, that we're seeing that kind of demand for property because there aren't enough houses. I've also talked about the cost of new construction continues to rise. The lumber prices are higher than ever. And so the cost of building, when you add in the city's fees, the state's fees, before you've even touched that property, you've bought the lot and you haven't built a thing, you could have paid $30,000 and $40,000 in fees on that house to the government for services that they're not providing. But in any case, with the lumber prices expanding, and we do have a shortage of labor again, partially because of COVID, partially just because of where we are and what we are, you're seeing prices escalate on the new houses. My prediction, again, is next August, you're going to be saying, wow, I wish I had those buyers, because my prediction is as we go into the winter, unless some miracle happens, California and the San Joaquin Valley in particular, we'll see unemployment rates above 20%, and in communities, we'll see 40% unemployment based on everything that's happened with COVID. I think no matter what happens with the election, California is going to have a tough time recovering from this deep hole that they've put themselves into. That's only my prediction, and I could be wrong, but I've been doing real estate here in Tulare County in this area for 40 years now, and I've seen the ups and downs, and it looks to me like we're moving towards a down cycle in real estate. Not as big of a down cycle as we saw in the housing bust of 2008, but a down cycle is coming, and it's in the near future. When we come back from this next commercial break, we'll talk a little bit about interest rates, about refinancing. I want to talk a little bit about the landlord-tenant laws, what's going on in California. Again, when can we evict again? What are we doing with our tenants? This is Brad Maskey, and you've been listening to Real Talk.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, and this is Brad Maskey, and you're listening to Real Talk. Real Talk is the right side of real estate, and it's where we talk all things real estate, including public policy and what are the laws in California doing to affect you and the value of your real estate. You know, you can also reach me during the week or anytime, 559-732-4444. If you have questions about your real estate that you would like the answers to, we do sell real estate here too, even though I rarely promote that portion of my business. And we also do property management if you're interested in having someone professionally manage your property in the Visalia area, as well as Fresno and Clovis. But coming back, I was going to talk to you about interest rates. I was going to talk to you about owning real property and the eviction process in California right now. And I have to tell you that the eviction process in California right now and most of the United States is absolutely crazy. We have tenants who have been given permission under emergency California legislation and under COVID legislation or emergency actions by the governor that have said that essentially a tenant in a residential property who claims they are affected by COVID could have at this point stayed in an apartment or house in California for free from March through August. And then beginning September 1st, that same tenant who may not have paid rent for 6 months has five more months in which they only have to pay 25% of the rent that's due. So if it's $1,000 a month, they only have to pay $250. But wait, Mikey, there's more. They don't have to pay that $250 in September or October or November or December or most of January. They could simply make one payment of $1,250 at the end of January, and they would be considered good for their rent. You couldn't evict them during any of that time. As for other evictions, most of the courts have been shut down for evictions for other purposes. So say that you had a tenant who didn't pay their rent in January or February, and you were in the eviction process when the courts were shut down. Can you take that tenant in for an eviction now? The answer is no, not yet. October 4th is when you'll be able to take that tenant in to finally have an unlawful detainer. Now, there are some carve-outs in the new legislation that was passed for very small purposes. If you have a tenant that's violently threatening people, some things like that, destroying the property, you might be able to get an emergency order to get into court and go through with an unlawful detainer. If you have an estate property in which a caretaker of the estate has been in it, it looks like you might be able to get that person out of the property right now through notices and through emergency court orders to do that. If you have an owner-occupant who has made an offer on a rental property and they're intending to move into the property, you can give the 30-day notice, and if they don't move out, you can evict under those circumstances. But those look like the very limited circumstances in which you can evict. When you have a tenant who didn't pay their September rent, and there are several who might not have, you have to now give them a 15-day notice to pay rent. Not a 3-day notice, but a 15-day notice. Weekends and holidays don't count. And that notice also tells the tenant that if they give you a signed statement back that says they're not paying rent because they're affected by COVID, that stops the eviction. There's nothing you can do. Again, they have until January 31st to pay their rent. So there's tenant advocacy groups that are going around the state informing tenants, don't pay your rent. You do not have to pay anything. Don't pay any rent. Your landlord can't do anything about it. As long as you earn less than 130% of the median income in this area, there's nothing in the area where your property is. There's nothing your landlord can do if you don't pay the rent on time, and they can't charge you late fees. All they can do is charge you the rent that's finally due on January 31st. Now, what happens to that unpaid rent? So I'm the landlord, and I have a tenant that paid $1,250 total in the last 11 months. In March of 2021, I can go to small claims court to get a judgment for that unpaid rent that wasn't paid, that money that's due. So they owed me $11,000 for that time frame. They paid $1,250, so I could go to court and sue in small claims court. And the trade-off they gave landlords was that there's no limit to what you can sue for as long as it's only rent, and there's no limit to how many times you could go to small claims court. So if you own several properties, you could go to small claims court several times for each one of those. But you cannot report their unpaid rent to a credit bureau, and you're not supposed to report the judgment against them that you got in small claims court for their unpaid rent to the credit bureau. You can try to collect that money if possible. If there's any way you can get it, you can try to garnish their wages. You might get $25 every other week when you do that, and so on. But that's the trade-off, and that's where California real estate is right now. The next thing that's going to greatly affect your real estate is this election in November. Again, we can't talk enough about Proposition 15. Proposition 15 is supposedly to help education and local government. Proposition 15 is to break Proposition 13. Proposition 15 is so that they can collect any amount of tax they want on commercial real estate. They can reassess it every year. It's not limited to how much it can increase in value. And this is going to harm every commercial business in the state, unless you just bought your property last year. But if you've owned your property for some period of time, and they say, but we made an exclusion for those people making who own property worth $3 million or less. Well, that's not very much property that's in that $3 million or less. But even so, they're saying that that person's excluded. So if I only owned one piece of property or two and it was worth $2.5 million, I wouldn't be subject to that. But it's anywhere in the state that I own property. So if I own at least $3 million worth of property, I'm not excluded. And most people that own commercial property have property valued at $3 million or more. That doesn't mean you have a net worth of $3 million. You might own $4 million worth of property and owe $3 million on it and need that rent that comes in or should come in to make your payment, but you're still now boomed back into this. You can be reassessed. It's their first leg up in trying to get Proposition 13 broken. The money that's collected from that is going mostly to the schools and mostly to local government, and that's how they got the teachers' unions and the SEIU to put up $40, $50, up to $100 million to promote passing this new legislation. So please, please, please vote no on Proposition 15. So what's up with interest rates? They're still hovering around 3%. The Federal Reserve met this week, and the Federal Reserve reduced the interest rate again. Federal Reserve took it down to near zero. That's the overnight rate at which banks borrow from each other, but they can do anything they want. But anyway, the rate stayed near zero again. That creates those very, very good 30-year fixed mortgage interest rates. Again, the 30-year fixed mortgage rates are somewhere around 3%. If you're absolutely lucky, you have great credit scores, you have the right program, the right loan to value, and all of those things with your income, you may be able to get a 2.75% 30-year fixed interest rate. The 15-year loan is also at about 2.75. You might be able to get a 15-year 2.5, rare, possible. But when you look at real interest rates, you're probably looking at 3% to 3.25 right now, which is still absolutely phenomenal. And that's still partially fueling this market that's booming still with buyers, because with really, really good interest rates around 3%, it's encouraging people to stay in the market, and we have the shortage of inventory. I'm going to take another short break, and when I come back, we're going to talk some more about refinancing. And again, we're going to talk today about when should you refinance, when shouldn't you, and who are the people having the most trouble getting a refinance in this market with great interest rates. This is Brad Maskey, and you're listening to Real Talk.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, and this is Brad Maskey, and you're listening to Real Talk. Real Talk is the right side of real estate, and it's where we talk all things real estate, including public policy and what are the laws in California doing to affect you and the value of your real estate. You know, you can also reach me during the week or anytime, 559-732-4444. If you have questions about your real estate that you would like the answers to, we do sell real estate here too, even though I rarely promote that portion of my business. And we also do property management. If you're interested in having someone professionally manage your property in the Visalia area, as well as Fresno and Clovis. But coming back, I was going to talk to you about interest rates. I was going to talk to you about owning real property and the eviction process in California right now. And I have to tell you that the eviction process in California right now and most of the United States is absolutely crazy. We have tenants who have been given permission under emergency California legislation and under COVID legislation or emergency actions by the governor that have said that essentially a tenant in a residential property who claims they are affected by COVID could have at this point stayed in an apartment or house in California for free from March through August. And then beginning September 1st, that same tenant who may not have paid rent for 6 months has five more months in which they only have to pay 25% of the rent that's due. So if it's $1,000 a month, they only have to pay $250. But wait, Mikey, there's more. They don't have to pay that $250 in September or October or November or December or most of January. They could simply make one payment of $1,250 at the end of January and they would be considered good for their rent. You couldn't evict them during any of that time. As for other evictions, most of the courts have been shut down for evictions for other purposes. So say that you had a tenant who didn't pay their rent in January or February, and you were in the eviction process when the courts were shut down. Can you take that tenant in for an eviction now? The answer is no, not yet. October 4th is when you'll be able to take that tenant in to finally have an unlawful detainer. Now, there are some carve-outs in the new legislation that was passed for very small purposes. If you have a tenant that's violently threatening people, some things like that, destroying the property, you might be able to get an emergency order to get into court and go through with an unlawful detainer. If you have an estate property in which a caretaker of the estate has been in it, it looks like you might be able to get that person out of the property right now through notices and through emergency court orders to do that. If you have an owner-occupant who has made an offer on a rental property and they're intending to move into the property, you can give the 30-day notice, and if they don't move out, you can evict under those circumstances. But those look like the very limited circumstances in which you can evict. When you have a tenant who didn't pay their September rent, and there are several who might not have, you have to now give them a 15-day notice to pay rent. Not a 3-day notice, but a 15-day notice. Weekends and holidays don't count. And that notice also tells the tenant that if they give you a signed statement back that says they're not paying rent because they're affected by COVID, that stops the eviction. There's nothing you can do. Again, they have until January 31st to pay their rent. So there's tenant advocacy groups that are going around the state informing tenants, don't pay your rent. You do not have to pay anything. Don't pay any rent. Your landlord can't do anything about it. As long as you earn less than 130% of the median income in this area, there's nothing in the area where your property is. There's nothing your landlord can do if you don't pay the rent on time, and they can't charge you late fees. All they can do is charge you the rent that's finally due on January 31st. Now, what happens to that unpaid rent? So I'm the landlord, and I have a tenant that paid $1,250 total in the last 11 months. In March of 2021, I can go to small claims court to get a judgment for that unpaid rent that wasn't paid, that money that's due. So they owed me $11,000 for that time frame. They paid $1,250, so I could go to court and sue in small claims court. And the trade-off they gave landlords was that there's no limit to what you can sue for as long as it's only rent, and there's no limit to how many times you could go to small claims court. So if you own several properties, you could go to small claims court several times for each one of those. But you cannot report their unpaid rent to a credit bureau, and you're not supposed to report the judgment against them that you got in small claims court for their unpaid rent to the credit bureau. You can try to collect that money if possible. If there's any way you can get it, you can try to garnish their wages. You might get $25 every other week when you do that, and so on. But that's the trade-off, and that's where California real estate is right now. The next thing that's going to greatly affect your real estate is this election in November. Again, we can't talk enough about Proposition 15. Proposition 15 is supposedly to help education and local government. Proposition 15 is to break Proposition 13. Proposition 15 is so that they can collect any amount of tax they want on commercial real estate. They can reassess it every year. It's not limited to how much it can increase in value. And this is going to harm every commercial business in the state. Unless you just bought your property last year, but if you've owned your property for some period of time, and they say, but we made an exclusion for those people making who own property worth $3 million or less. Well, that's not very much property that's in that $3 million or less. But even so, they're saying that that person's excluded. So if I only owned one piece of property or two and it was worth $2.5 million, I wouldn't be subject to that. But it's anywhere in the state that I own property. So if I own at least $3 million worth of property, I'm not excluded. And most people that own commercial property have property valued at $3 million or more. That doesn't mean you have a net worth of $3 million. You might own $4 million worth of property and owe $3 million on it and need that rent that comes in or should come in to make your payment, but you're still now boomed back into this. You can be reassessed. It's their first leg up in trying to get Proposition 13 broken. The money that's collected from that is going mostly to the schools and mostly to local government, and that's how they got the teachers' unions and the SEIU to put up $40, $50, up to $100 million to promote passing this new legislation. So please, please, please vote no on Proposition 15. So what's up with interest rates? They're still hovering around 3%. The Federal Reserve met this week, and the Federal Reserve reduced the interest rate again. Federal Reserve took it down to near zero. That's the overnight rate at which banks borrow from each other, but they can do anything they want. But anyway, the rate stayed near zero again. That creates those very, very good 30-year fixed mortgage interest rates. Again, the 30-year fixed mortgage rates are somewhere around 3%. If you're absolutely lucky, you have great credit scores, you have the right program, the right loan to value, and all of those things with your income, you may be able to get a 2.75% 30-year fixed interest rate. The 15-year loan is also at about 2.75. You might be able to get a 15-year at 2.5. Rare, possible. But when you look at real interest rates, you're probably looking at 3% to 3.25 right now, which is still absolutely phenomenal. And that's still partially fueling this market that's booming still with buyers, because with really, really good interest rates around 3%, it's encouraging people to stay in the market, and we have the shortage of inventory. I'm going to take another short break, and when I come back, we're going to talk some more about refinancing. And again, we're going to talk today about when should you refinance, when shouldn't you, and who are the people having the most trouble getting a refinance in this market with great interest rates. This is Brad Maskey, and you're listening to Real Talk. Thanks for listening to Real Talk. Real Talk has been a Brad Maskey production.